Well met, and welcome to episode 51, the Bill Shakespeare Project podcast for September the 26th, 2010. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. Greetings, this is Bill Walthall, and this week we're going to wrap up our month-long discussion of King John with a review of the one and only King John's available on DVD, a really brief discussion of concepts and casts, and we'll finish off with a discussion of this week's blog entries. Okay, King John is a play that up until this month I've never read, I've never seen it produced, and there's only one version that I can find on video, the 1984 BBC Complete Works production, directed by David Giles. Now, this production comes from the final season and was the antepenultimate play aired. Now, there's an interesting story behind the use of Giles as a director. When the overall series was being planned, the idea was that Giles would direct all of the histories in the two tetralogies from Richard II through Richard III, employing the same actors in their roles across the plays. But when scheduling issues arose with the actors, that plan was scrapped. The second tetralogy, chronologically speaking, which we watched late last year and in January of this year, was given to Jane Howell to direct. Giles still directed the other tetralogy, Richard II through Henry V, and I guess King John fell into his lap as a consolation prize. Lucky him. Or maybe unlucky him. Maybe unlucky us. The production is shot on a stage, obviously. All of the BBC series was, but this one felt extra stagey. The second scene, set before the city of Angiers, makes no attempt at realism. In fact, it flaunts its abstract presentation. Now, the performances, like all in the series, are solid. Leonard Rossiter's title character isn't wimpy or irresolute. He's stronger than that, and that's his problem. He's arrogant. Mary Morris plays Queen Eleanor as an old warrior queen. In real life, she was in her mid-70s when the story took place, and Morris, and Giles, presents her as such. It's a wonderfully imperious performance. As my favorite character in the play, George Costigan, brings a loose, aware, almost modern take to the bastard. It's a great performance, but he's so full of life, of modern life, that it's like he's acting in a different play. But more on that later. As his mother, Phillida Law, is great in her one scene. And I kept thinking that I had seen this woman before. Quick trip to IMDb told me why. She's the mother of Emma Thompson, and there is most definitely a family resemblance. Claire Bloom plays Constance. She plays the wannabe queen on a clear and relentless trajectory from stolid to hurt to distraught to beyond. It's a solid performance, and it whets my appetite to see her as Gertrude in the Complete Works production of Hamlet. A few more quick shots about the casting. First, casting a dark-haired, big-bearded Rossiter as King John is one thing. Casting opposite him a dark-haired, big-bearded Charles Kay as King Philip is quite another, especially when in all their regalia it's kind of hard to tell them apart. Secondly, ages. Mary Morris was nearly 70 when she played Eleanor here, and that's just about right. Luke Owen, who played Arthur, looks to be in his early teens, which is fine given that the character was 12 years old at that point in history. But both Jonathan Coy and Janet Maugh, who play Lewis and Blanche respectively, were in their late 20s when this production was filmed. So why is that of note? Well, these characters were 12 and 11, respectively, in history. It's not the first time, nor will it be the last, that Shakespeare, let alone a director, will play with the ages of his character. It's just weird to see Arthur played age-appropriate and Lewis and Blanche not. I understand it, of course. Lewis is a fairly meaty role, and it would be problematic if a younger actor couldn't, you know, pull his performance weight, so to speak. Now, there are a couple of things I thought Giles did very well with the production. The performances and interaction between Morris's Eleanor and Bloom's Constance are excellently done, and I hadn't thought of John slowly descending in, if not to madness, then weakness beginning in Act 4, just after he effectively signs Arthur's death warrant. It's an interesting take, and it worked well. Like I mentioned before, Costigan brought a wonderful swagger to the bastard. He was a blast to watch, especially when he mockingly refers to Constance as the crier, wah wah, as opposed to public announcer. It's just another mocking throwaway line, and that's part of the problem. To have him be so mocking, so modern in this staid, slow, and dare I say it? Yes, I dare. Boring play hurts the play. It's like he's acting in the wrong production, especially since Giles has the soliloquies delivered straight to the camera, and no one else in the play has such a speech. Arthur's speech on the wall certainly isn't delivered that way. Now, Costigan's great, and Giles is partly responsible for that, but it works to the detriment of the production as a whole. So, would I recommend this video? Well, if you had to read the play, and I'm not saying that I even recommend that, it wouldn't hurt you to watch this. And if that doesn't sound like a glowing recommendation, then good. Wasn't meant to be. But the BBC Complete Works plays are available on DVD from both Netflix and Amazon.com. Every month, as we wind down the discussion of that month's plays, we usually hit upon possible production concepts and castings for it. Now, I don't know if it's that this is a history play or that this is the first play I've read after a hiatus or what, but I can't think of a concrete production concept. I mean, since there's no real physical battling, maybe we could contemporize it, you know, make the nations like corporations or something. That might work. Otherwise, I'm not sure where I'd go with this. Now, as for castings, I can think of only three characters that I'd even care to cast. First, I would love to see Faye Dunaway as Eleanor. She's got the years, she's got the gravitas, and despite memories of no more wire hangers, she doesn't have to go over the top to be effective. Eleanor is surgical with her verbal strikes. She can be relentless, but she seems more cruel and cutting than yelling and cursing. On the other hand, there's Constance. She needs to go over the top, especially in defense of her family. And when I thought of that, the first actress that popped into my head was Edie Falco from The Sopranos. She's tough, yet with just enough crazy on the side. Have you seen Nurse Jackie? You can see her going overboard, and over, and over, and overboard some more. And then there's the bastard. While much is made of his facial resemblance to the dead King Lionheart, we don't get much of a description of a physically imposing man. So I wouldn't want to go that way, you know, kind of the Liam Neeson type of build. Instead, I'd want someone a little thinner, wiry, but with that swagger, self-assured, a badass with just enough of a smirk to make him fun to watch. And for me, that would be Timothy Oliphant, who was Sheriff Bullock in Deadwood and is now Marshal Raylan Givens in FX's Justified. Badass, just totally badass. So here we are at the end of the month. It's been a long month, despite its only being 30 days, because this play is just not great. It's at the bottom of the barrel as far as I'm concerned. It's the worst play overall, and it's the worst history, most definitely. And so, as this month ends, I am looking forward to next month. Bring on Shylock the Jew. I'm ready for him. Now, if you've enjoyed this podcast, but you haven't been following along with our daily blog entries this week, you've missed out on subjects including ill-tuned repetitions, not-so-little women, lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, and toss in a swan as well, the French suck, part two, and an anachronism. So, if you'd like more in-depth discussions or just want a daily fix, check out the blog entries at thebillshakespeareproject.com. Or become a fan of our Facebook page. Remember that the Facebook page is more for Shakespeare news and notes than the daily discussions of our play of the month. Also, if you have any question or comment about this or any other Bill Shakespeare Project podcast or blog entry, you can always lob me an email at bill@thebillshakespeareproject.com. And of course, please join us again for our next podcast. We hope to see you then. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project podcast for September 26th, 2010. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we shall see thee anon.